Thank you very much. That's very kind of you. As you can hear, my voice isn't... I've had a cold the whole week. But you'll hear a little bit more about that in a second. So it has been quite an unusual week for me this week. Usually when I preach, God tells me weeks, months in advance what I'm speaking about. It didn't happen like that on this occasion. And I literally had to duct tape my hands to my side and stop the shakes, to wait for God to hear from him what he wanted to speak about this week. And he eventually did speak, praise God. And as he spoke, I then had to practice what he what I needed to preach about. And so I literally found myself in situations that as I was going through the week, I found the words of the sermon bubbling up in my head. And when you're sick, the last thing you feel like doing is practicing anything. I didn't feel like practicing what I had to preach, but thankfully God is gracious with me and with us. So it really has been a very challenging week, but I'm very grateful to be here, and my voice is actually working. Praise God for that. You can hear me, I hope. Can you all hear? Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So I'm going to go off as I usually do. I'm going to go off on a tangent, but I will be back. What I want to talk about today. And I just wanted to share that I really felt there was a message for somebody before the message. There's a message before the message. And that was just around reminding ourselves about the seasons in our lives and just reminding ourselves about who God is. And God is an incredibly faithful God. He sets all the seasons in motion. And there's always a very specific reason why we are in a season. And, yeah, just to not be quick to wish that season away or to be done with it. So I really just wanted to encourage you with Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 to 8, where it says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search, a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And it's then all beautifully encapsulated in Ecclesiastes 3:11, the first bit. It says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. And we can really trust that God does do that for us. He will always bring about what he says he will bring about. And so I just wanted to encourage whoever this is, maybe there's more than one of you, with Proverbs 16, verse 3, that says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your paths. And I'm sure that we can all look back on our lives at some point or another where we've seen the faithfulness, we've seen the provision of God. So really just rely and fall back on that. So I quickly just wanted to pray for us before we started the message this morning. So if you all just want to close your eyes, I'd appreciate that. Father God, we just thank you that you are an incredibly faithful God, that not only can we sing it, but that we can actually believe it in our hearts, Father. You are a good, good Father, Lord, and you have ordained every season that there is, and some of them are short and some of them are long, and some of them we understand and some of them we don't. But thank you, God, that you are God, that you are who you say you are. And we just want to say, Father God, that we trust you with that. And we thank you, Lord, just for the message that you've brought this morning, Lord, just as we search and understand the Pharisee's heart, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that there is a blessing in that message for us this morning, Father God. We just come and, yeah, just open our hearts and our minds to receive that word, Father God. And Lord, we know that you are faithful in growing and multiplying, Lord. So we just come and commit this time to you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So as I mentioned earlier on, as God started speaking to me about the message for today, it really was almost like I had a little piece of Play-Doh, like the message took shape and then it kind of just fell away and then it took shape again and then it fell away. So it really took a lot of working through to get the message out today. But because I had to work so hard for it, I wanted to be upfront with you about what the message is about today. I don't want to be shady or for you to misunderstand what I want to say. And really what the message today is about freedom and the freedom that we find in Christ. That Jesus came to break the chains of religiosity, and that means the earning of our salvation. And that freedom is found in understanding the grace which God has afforded to us in Christ Jesus. I'm sure you're all aware that you've experienced or seen that there's always something inside of us that fights against receiving this grace. Like, we want to earn our salvation. We want to deserve it. And you'll know, like somebody like me, I'm incredibly black and white. There's always a right. There's always a wrong. The gray is so tiny. I love a list. I love a checklist. So you can understand that this is very counter to who and what I am. And that's why I haven't got any slides today, because I'm fighting about being in that box today. I'm stepping out of the box. Sfisa, you'll be so proud of me, I'm sure of it. And so really what I wanted to say was that God isn't a checklist. He isn't a checkbox. He's our Redeemer. He's our Savior. And he extends his hand to us to receive his grace, to remove the shackles of this religiosity, this living a framework or living a certain way, and the earning of our salvation. And here's the key. It's through relationship with him that we break this. So I've given you the end before I've even started. There it is. So in order to convey that message this morning, I just wanted to share a couple of examples out of the Bible where we look at the hearts of a Pharisee. So you'll know when Jesus, he came to earth, the Pharisees and Jesus knocked heads quite a few times. And unfortunately, the Pharisees weren't able to recognize and see Jesus for who and what he was. They were so caught up in this being a certain model or a way or relying on their own knowledge or understanding that they didn't see Jesus. And I really hope that none of us get to that position where we cannot recognize Jesus because we're so caught up in our own ways, our own culture, or our own learning or understanding, whatever it is. So I just wanted to share some examples for you this morning. So the first example was, look at my external actions and not my internal issues. So there's a verse in Luke 18, 10 to 14, where it says, two men went up to pray to the temple, one a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Sorry, you're not a tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Then we see it moves to the tax collector, and it says, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. And there were just two things that I wanted to pull out from that scripture, was just that, do you see how the Pharisee had a perception or an understanding of God? And he actually told God, God, you are actually going to be pleased with me about this. I've done this, 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 and this, and this. Isn't it amazing? But as we can see from the scripture, that God obviously wasn't impressed with that. And the second thing he does is he actually justifies himself. You know, I fast, I tithe. And then he has the audacity to point out somebody else's sin. Do you see this guy over here? Do you see how sinful he is? And I really also wanted to just come up with a modern-day example of what this sort of Pharisee scenario would maybe look like if we saw it today. And what I thought about is, for example, if we had grown up in a Christian home our whole lives, we know the practices, we know the principles, we know, you know, all the ways of to be a Christian, but there's a disconnect missing here. And then we come to church and we see all the weirdos and we think, oh my word, and why are they so happy? Can somebody explain that to me? You know, that there's a total disconnect between the head and the heart. That there's something missing there that they haven't, they've got all this head knowledge, but it hasn't actually filtered down into the heart. and hasn't become a living practice, that actually a wellspring that springs forth from the heart, is just a natural outflowing from the heart, rather than a striving and a doing and a being and always having to see if you can do the best and be the best. And also that there's just a disconnect in the flowing of the Holy Spirit, you know, the peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness. That there's also just that is completely missing from your life. So that's the first example. The second one is the heart of forgiveness. So we see the disciples, Peter comes to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive my brother? And then he thinks he's being quite generous. He goes, 7 times. And Jesus goes, no, it's 77 times. He then goes on to tell this parable about a servant who owed a king a lot of money, and the king came to do his, he came to settle up all his debts and to just find out his current status of things. And he calls the servant in, the servant comes in, and the servant is unable to repay his debt. And so to try and get some money back, he says, okay, fine, he's now going to sell the servant and his family just to try and get some money back. And so the servant is beside himself. He cries, mercy, please have mercy upon me. I will pay back everything, everything. I will pay it back. Please just don't sell me. Don't throw me in prison. And so the king is merciful to him and lets him go. At the same time, the same servant then goes out to his fellow servants who owe him money and say to him, that he actually throttles them. That's what the Bible says. It throttles him around the throat and says, where's my money? Give me my money. And the servants are unable to pay him back, so he actually has them thrown in prison. Can you believe it? He's been forgiven this massive debt, but yet for pennies and pounds, he has the same sort of scenario of people thrown into prison. And so Jesus is trying to make an example here that, you know, he has forgiven us much. And when we find ourselves in situations where a person's maybe done us wrong, to be mindful that we need to forgive them, our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we need to forgive them for what they've done. So the Pharisee in this example fails to recognize the cost of his own debt having been cancelled. And also, the Pharisee was unable to see forgiveness, the other person's forgiveness, in light of his own forgiveness. And in terms of a modern day example of what this would look like, is say hypothetically, Hercules, I'm sorry, but you've hurt me so badly. And you've hurt me so badly, more so than I've hurt you, and I just want to say I can't forgive you. This is not true, by the way. But I'm just making an example. That if you find a scenario where somebody's hurt you so much that you actually, you know, look at what you've done to me, I cannot possibly forgive you. Jesus is trying to say, yes, we are going to have to find a way to forgive one another in that situation or in that scenario that we find ourselves in. And I probably will touch on this a little bit further on. There is another example coming through a little bit later on. So the third thing a Pharisee will do is they will say to you, look at my faith. They will want you to watch them in their faith. So in Matthew 6:1 it says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. And here we see the Pharisee actually putting on a facade, a mask. It's almost like their faith can be switched on and switched off. So on a Wednesday they come to small group and they switch it on. And they have small group and then they go home and they switch it off. And then Sunday, well, who knows what happens during the week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But then on Sunday they come back to church and on goes the switch. And then they're good Christians again. And really, just to tie in with what I initially said at the beginning, our walk with Christ is a daily walk. It is not a switching on or a switching off or a sometimes when I feel like it and sometimes I don't. And thank you, Safisa, for sharing this morning. Just about pressing even in, even when our feelings don't feel like it. It is an everyday thing. It's not a case of just when people are looking that that's when we are the shiny version of ourselves. Then the fourth example is love your neighbor as your neighbor. So not about loving your neighbor as yourself. The Pharisee will love their neighbor as their neighbor. So Jesus actually speaks to the Pharisees quite bluntly in this case. He says to them, he actually rebukes them. He says, "You tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guards, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel." That's quite a biggie, isn't it? It's almost like a little speck in your eye and a log in the other. No, speck in the other person's eye and a log in your eye. And so basically what he's saying is that the Pharisees will find any reason not to actually help the poor or the oppressed or the broken. And there seems to be a total disregard for understanding the words from Isaiah 61, where it says, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners." Rather, the Pharisees will try and use the word of God to try and leverage and get around actually not helping you. And the modern day example that I came across this was somebody, so say hypothetically I tithe, and not only do I tithe 10%, but then I give another 10% to charity. Isn't that amazing? I don't really, but I'm just saying. I definitely tithe though, anyway. just to say that, so say hypothetically one day I'm walking along and I actually see somebody in the road and they actually desperately need help. But I'm feeling a little bit giving fatigued, and I just think, somebody else's problem. I'm sure I give to some charity that deals with people on the street. I don't know, maybe I do, maybe I don't, but that's somebody else's problem. And so we try and get around actually having to help other people that we come across in our lives because we can't be bothered, because we're selfish, because we think, oh, that's somebody else's problem. We forget that we are the answer to the world's problems. We hold within us the answer, Jesus Christ. And we forget that we actually need to share that with people. The fifth example is speaking about hiding in the shadows. And this is from the text of Matthew 23, where it says, Jesus exposed the Pharisees for another time. He says, "You clean the outside of the cup and plate, but inside you are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside may also be clean. You are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you are also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." So the Pharisees actually take on the facade of being according to the law, but what the text is saying is that actually it's just bleached white walls inside. There's actually so much lawlessness inside. And the example that I was thinking about is last Sunday Hercules shared with us just around offense and what offense does to us. And it's almost like, you know, we can be kind to somebody's face, but actually inside we're bitter and we're resentful and we're just unhappy. And we don't actually realize that the only person that we're destroying is actually just ourselves, because that person actually doesn't even realize that resentment actually lives in our hearts. They are blissfully unaware. And so I just wanted to recap actually and re-encourage you this week that if there is any offense in our hearts, just to deal with it and just to remove that bitter root, because it literally does cause a dead body, a corpse inside of us, because it just rots away inside of us. Point number six was, do what I say and not what I do. So Jesus says, they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. And this is really just about, as I mentioned a bit earlier on, removing the speck out of somebody else's eye, but actually you've got this massive big log, this big issue of this thing that you're not confronting in your own life. And you're saying to Nigel, sorry Nigel, I'm going to come up with an example of you. Nigel, it's ridiculous that you do, I don't know, somebody help me out here. He's got such a lovely face, how can I say anything bad about it? I don't know, but let's face it, you do X, Y, Z, but actually, meantime, when nobody's looking, at home, I'm doing ABC. You know, but I'm quite quick when everybody's around to say, hey guys, look at Nigel, Nigel's doing this over here. But actually, I'm not actually practicing what I preach. I'm, you know, trying to have these whitewashed walls, as we saw about in the first example. So one of the examples that I put down here was, what do we do when it comes to our brother's sin? What do we do? What do we say? How do we help and encourage? Do we point it out, like I've stated? So I'm pointing out Nigel, saying, Nigel, you know, in front of everybody, saying X, Y, Z. But, or do we in the quiet, go and speak to them and say, hey, I've noticed that you're potentially struggling in this particular scenario. Can I help you? Is there anything I can do? Is there anything I can pray for you? Do you want me to meet up with you once a week and pray with you? Do you want me to, you know, how can I help you? So really about practicing what you preach and not pointing out necessarily the sin in other people's lives. So as we look at the story of all the Pharisees, I've given you quite a few scenarios. I wanted to ask ourselves some really tough questions this morning. And so the first one is, do you justify your sin, but hold tightly others tightly accountable to theirs? Do you struggle to forgive others, even in light of your own forgiveness? Do you practice your faith only on Wednesdays and Sundays? Maybe you use God's word to find excuses not to do something. Do we only want people to see our squeaky outside, squeaky clean outside? Or do we allow people into our vulnerable hearts and share with them what's really happening in our hearts? Do we potentially lack love for people who are in need? And do we possibly try and cover our sin rather than confessing and repenting to God about what we've done? So these are very, very hard questions. But the good news is there's a very easy answer. A very, very easy answer. And his name is Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. And he is free. And, yeah, you just need to accept him into your heart. Walk with him daily, and he will set you free from the shackles that we try to put on ourselves by trying to earn our own salvation and earn and deserve what God has given us actually for free. I'm going to quickly ask Ian just to play us a quick video before I carry on. Verse 21 to 23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will say to them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And just to use the words from the video, it's not about doing because it's already done. It's now about relationship with Jesus. Let Jesus say, I know you. Because that's what the message really is about knowing Christ. So I just want to ask if you just want to stand this morning and please close your eyes. Just as we explore what's in our hearts. So if you all just want to close your eyes, I just want to give us a moment to reflect and just ask some questions around just the current condition of our hearts. Do you sometimes find that you do the works of God, but not necessarily come to meet Jesus? Do you sometimes take the speck out of someone else's eye before taking the log out of your own? Potentially, maybe, do we treat God like a good luck charm, that he must do everything for us and at any cost? Maybe we've got some preconceived ideas about God and what he does and what he doesn't do, like we've put him into a box. I want to encourage you this morning not to leave here until you have met with Jesus. Speak to him. Repent if you need to. Say sorry to someone if you need to say sorry. Ask for forgiveness if you need to ask. Don't allow your heart or our hearts to be hardened by doing this and doing that, doing this and doing that. But come and sit at the feet of Christ like Mary did. Come and feel vulnerable before the Lord. Open your heart and let him in, because he is the King of Kings, and he brings life, and he brings joy, and he brings hope, and he brings a future. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross, who you so graciously gave to us, Father, that we might not be confined to doing the outer methods of religion. But rather, Father God, you were after our hearts, and so you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could be in right standing with you, that we could have relationship directly with you again, Father. I pray this morning, Father God, that we would not undo what Jesus has done upon the cross. But rather, Father God, I pray that we would turn our hearts to meet you. We would come to you daily, Father. And I pray, Father God, that if there's something in our hearts that aren't, yeah, if there's something missing or amiss in our hearts this morning, Father, I pray that you would, that you would highlight this to us individually. Father God, that we might deal with it this morning, that we might come and just kneel before you, Father, and just do business with you, Father God, whatever form that may take. We just come and we dip our hearts in the streams of life, because we know that you are the one who gives us life. We just ask this all now in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. I just want to say that, I just encourage you. Please just come forward. Let us pray for you. Just come to the Father. He's waiting. He's always waiting. He's always here.